evening. Welcome to the 24th episode in the Detour series. It's finally spring and life seems to have come a full circle since March of 2020 when the world was literally forced to hit the pause button. That led us to slow down and find some sense of balance. Many of us went inwards, deep diving into the idea of wellness and well-being, realigning both within and with the environment at large. It was a lesson waiting to be learned. Hi. All right, as some of you are joining in, let me introduce myself for those who don't know me. I'm Taruna Seth, Navigator and Chief Co-Founder at Encompass Experiences. We are a conscious travel group that specializes in curating immersive and transformational journeys within India and all across the world. In the Detour series, I talk to some inspirational people, mavericks from different walks of life, travel experts and conscious thought leaders about their life journeys. Today's guest is Veer Singh. He's the founder of Vaana. He's the founder and creator of Vaana. And after spending years in England, Spain, and India, Veer aspired to create the most iconic wellness retreat in the world. And that's how Vaana Malsi Estate was born. Drawing from his knowledge of organic farming, ecology, and ecology, Veer created a haven of wellness, connecting the estate and its surrounding 21 acres of orchards and forests. Situated at the Himalayan, at foothills of Himalayas, it is the perfect place to embark upon a wellness journey. So let me bring Veer on to take this conversation forward. Just bear with me a second. All right, we're just waiting for Veer to join in. Veer from... Veer from Vaana. All right, let me send a request. Hey, Alina. Hi, Amita. How's everybody doing? All right, I see they've just joined in. So we're just waiting. Veer Singh, he's online to join. He's the founder and creator of Vaana, which is this beautiful retreat at the foothills of Himalayas. And it's absolutely gorgeous and it has a beautiful message behind its conception, really. So to know more about it, we're just waiting for Veer to come online. Hi, Natasha. Oh, great. Hi, I'm glad to hear that, Vikas. Yes, we're just waiting for Veer to join in. Can you hear me? All right, let me send them a request again. All right, I've sent a request again to Vaana Journey. Hi, Abhinav. Hello.
Hi, I'm so sorry.
No worries. How are you, Veer?
Good. And I'm sorry my lighting isn't very good.
That's okay.
We can see on my face. Okay.
All right. All right. So excited that you could make it. Thank you for taking the time. So, Veer, walk us through your personal journey, your early years, and what... you know, eventually prompted you to set up Vaana. Tell us about it, how it all started.
I think that would take longer than the duration of your entire session.
A synopsis.
I don't know. I think I've always been very different from when I was young in terms of how I wanted to spend my time and my opinions and... my interests, but fast forwarding to when I was in my 20s, I became very interested in farming and food and ecology. And that was really an important inflection point for me. And I guess that brought me to what we very loosely now call wellness.
Brilliant.
That's a very short.
That's a very, that's the short answer. All right. So yeah. Who would you say, who or what was your inspiration? And of course, it was a personal journey where you got interested in certain subjects. And then you also did some organic farming. So I hear when you were really into it and about, and you were a champion of conscious, or you still are a champion of conscious and sustainable living. So what, who or what was your inspiration behind this thought process?
Actually, I've never really had one particular role model, neither a person nor an organization. I think the closest I've come to of sort of idealizing a person is probably the Buddha Shakyamuni. But otherwise, I've usually been a bit more rebellious in nature, so I don't let myself set onto kind of one particular way of thinking. As I was saying earlier, you know, when you delve deep into farming and nature and food and our relationship with all of these things, you very quickly begin to question many of the choices that we make and the way in which we live.
Right.
And then you sort of end up in a bit of a rejectionist or nihilistic phase where you start to cut things out of your life, and then that creates space. And then you look for things with deeper meaning, I guess. And that's how I came upon Ayurveda and yoga and traditional Tibetan medicine, and a new way of looking at food, even design, even aesthetics, even lighting, which is really bad in this room. But you begin to sort of see everything through a new lens. And that's what happened to me in the years preceding Vana. And therefore, I was able to put a lot of that into what one was creating at Vana.
Amazing. That's so amazing. And it's so this is something, this is a realization, it's a self journey. I mean, this is something you experienced and you felt in your 20s. I mean, this is a time when most people are, you know, out there with their friends. And I mean, and you already kind of mentioned, disclaimer, that you've always been a bit different. You've been more introspective. So I think now you must be thinking now in the last 1 year, we have so many, I mean, the world has changed in the last 1 year. And I believe the time for wellness, I mean, it was always there, but I think now more and more people realize the importance of wellness and well-being. And because we couldn't go outside, a lot of people went inwards. And a lot of people have that, realization now to live a simpler life, looking for sustainable brands and so on and so forth. So you've obviously been on this journey for over a decade already. So Vana really is the manifestation of your beliefs and your journey in life. What is the basic philosophy of Vana, if you can just walk us through that?
You know, I don't mean to be pretentious, but I've never had an elevator pitch. It's been one of my problems. Like, people ask me, you know, tell me your elevator pitch. And that usually needs like an hour, because there are many, many layers in Vana,
of course,
you know, across everything that we do. But I guess if I had to maybe give you a few lines, we've always seen every individual as unique. And therefore, we try and find what works best for them in every aspect of their experience at Vana, which is not easy to do. Because, you know, in a world which, you know, it increasingly has less and less attention span, everybody right. wants to know very quickly about what you're all about. And in Vana's case, we've tried to practice this philosophy. So what is the right protocol of treatments for you? What is the right cuisine for you? What is the right environment, the right clothes, the right smell? We try to go to that level of detail. So that's one aspect of our philosophy. Apart from that, we've really tried our best to be of service to everybody, from the fireflies and butterflies that come to Vana, to our guests, to our team. Of course, we've not managed to always succeed at that. We face all the same troubles that all of us face, you know, financial issues and other life pressures. So it's not always easy to do. But there's this sense of like generosity and service that permeates what Vana really does, you know, and therefore it's difficult to put it in a category of sorts. It's sort of, again, I don't mean to sound pretentious, but Vana's kind of like its own category. It's something which is not wanted to associate itself in being in a particular sphere of work. It's something more amorphous, I would say.
Sure. Speaking of which, like, what, according to you, as per your vision, best summarizes what Vana is? Is it a retreat? Is it an institution? Or is it a movement that you're here to kind of build on?
I mean, at a very nuts and bolts level, retreat would be the correct terminology. And what differentiates a retreat from other places is that we, as I said, we're very individualized. We have a minimum length of stay. You can't come to Vana just to use the guest room. You have to come on retreat, which includes your treatments and all your cuisine. We have certain policies which we just don't bend for anybody. One being that you cannot use any technology outside your room. It's difficult with certain people to enforce that, but we are relentless on this.
And we need that.
Yeah, we do. You know, some people find it difficult to do, but eventually they thank us for it. We're all addicted to our devices and our technology. And I don't think our brains were designed to be fed constant information all day long, you know, sometimes even all night or late into the night. We need a break. So yes, Vana is very much a retreat. I had aspirations to sort of transform it into an institute or an institution. I don't know if I will ever realize that, because our current objective is also to become financially successful. You know, that's really important for us to sustain in the long run.
Sure. So, like you said, I mean, you know, we're perpetually connected to our digital devices 24/7, but yet, you know, we're more disconnected than ever. I mean, being so connected, we're so yet so disconnected. So what aspects of our modern lifestyle could benefit from a stay at Vana? Like you said, fine, you know, complete digital detox. Like, you know, you hear so much about mental well-being. You hear, I mean, it's not just about the physical aspect, but it's also about, you know, I mean, everybody's kind of imbalanced at the moment, because, I mean, people don't realize it, but the last 1 year has had a major impact on most people's lives.
Mm-hmm. I think a few things that people have told me that they found at Vana, which has really benefited them. One is a sense of stillness and serenity. Mm-hmm. We're constantly moving, either physically or in our head. I think we don't pause enough. You know, there are some teachings in the Buddhist scriptures where you pray for boredom and you pray for sadness, because those things, actually, I don't even want to explain them, because it's not my area of expertise, but I think some of those things have gone out of our lives, right? So people have told me they found a lot of stillness and serenity at Vana. Secondly, I think there is a real sense of authenticity at Vana, and it's also very non-commercial environment. Unlike many places we go to, there's always a feeling of being sold something, and there's always a feeling of transaction. Like, I can recall when I have been to a couple of the best wellness places in the world, halfway through my treatment, I'm thinking, how much should I tip the therapist? And, you know, then later you realize this is so absurd. You're meant to be resting and taking your mind off things, and your brain thinking, okay, should I give this much of a tip or that much of a tip? So in Vana, we have a strict no tipping policy. You will not ever find any signage trying to sell you one more treatment or sell you a excursion to somewhere, or, you know, a sort of something, trying to get you to buy something from the boutique. So being in a non-commercial environment where you can just rest and relax, and then further, all our guests wear our attire, right? So you don't, you can't really judge who is who and who's worth what. We tend to do that even on holiday. We're looking at what brand of clothing or what watch they're wearing, or you know, what brand of sandals or loafers. I've had very cute stories of we respect privacy, so I won't take names, but literally one of the most famous celebrities on the planet sitting across one of our other guests on a communal table, and the guest saying, "So what do you do for a living?" These are some of the things people tell me that they like about Vanna.
That's amazing. So tell me, Veer, like, irrespective of what religious background one comes from, right, there is a common thread of spiritualism and an inner journey that binds all human beings. And how does spirituality enhance wellness?
Well, you know, the way we look at well-being is, and this is sort of the thinking we had when we were conceptualizing Vanna, but we look at it from a physical, mental, emotional, social, environmental, occupational, and spiritual point of view. So it depends. For many people, you use the physical method to get to the spiritual. Some go straight to the spiritual and then the physical self heals itself. You know, maybe I'll answer your question in a different way. You know, like, you find people sometimes, they say, yeah, I'm a spiritual person, or I'm into spirituality. Mm-hmm. I find that a very absurd statement, because nothing in life cannot be spiritual, whether you admit it or not, or whether you are conscious of it or not. The eventual, let's say, recipe and ingredient of life is spiritual. It's not in the physical and the tangible. So therefore, in some ways, spirituality pervades everything. And we have allowed that to happen in Vanna, consciously and subconsciously, directly, indirectly. We've not shunned away from it or shied away from it. Wherever spirituality could come into Vanna, we let it happen.
No, yes, absolutely, and very rightly said so, because, you know, after all, we are spiritual beings on a human journey. So, like you rightly said, that's pretty much the core of our existence. And I think there's a lot of comfort in having that aspect of it. Like, you know, I mean, the more you, I use the layman's term, like, the more spiritual or centered I get, the more well you feel, right? There's kind of a direct correlation to that, at least personally for me. There has been a focus on implementing sustainability practices to reduce carbon footprint and so on and so forth. And, being socially responsible for your local communities around Vanna. So tell us about the work in this regard that's happening.
So firstly, I will say that most places are not honest about their true ecological credentials. And there's a lot of greenwashing going on by institutions and by individuals. So for where I would like to be, I would like to do and I would like to have done a lot more at Vanna. But I can safely say that in comparison to, a large property like ours is, we're on more than 20 acres, where 300,000 square feet of built up space, we've done fairly well. So we were one of the first places of that size to get a LEED Platinum rating from the US Green Building Council. In most of the materials that we have used, we have tried to keep ecology very much at mind, often exceeding the criteria given to us by LEED. I could go on. There's a very long list of things we do. For example, all our linen is certified organic. Mm-hmm. Certified organic. It's not something which is called organic, but isn't really. So I feel quite proud about that. On the food side, we try and source as much certified organic food that we can. We've been trying to build our own food network, you know, in Uttarakhand, in Dehradun and the surrounding areas since inception. So for my standards, I would give myself not more than a 6 out of 10. But I think if you compared us to most places, it would probably be an 8 or a 9 out of 10.
You obviously have very high standards, Veer. But I mean, from what I hear, I haven't been to Vana yet, but from what I hear, it's absolutely world class. And I think you're in many ways, you know, setting the tone for, you know, how a wellness retreat should be run, because I've heard some amazing things about some friends who've been there from all around the world, actually. So, yeah, I can't wait to be there. So tell me, what's a day in a life of a wellness entrepreneur, and how does the Vana way of life get entrenched in your day-to-day existence? What keeps you centered personally?
Well, like you said, it was sort of more the other way around, in the sense that, you know, Vana ended up being a manifestation of the mess inside my head. So I don't know, I'm maybe not the best wellness ambassador, actually, and I'm not going to lie about it. I don't have a perfect routine or a perfect diet or a perfect schedule. And like I said, wellness is very, very individual, right? And for a person like me, being of service and making my life useful is more important than anything else. So for me, my physical, mental well-being is more like good housekeeping. I don't have a glow on my face. I have dark circles. I don't have the best schedule. So yeah, that's the way it is. But yeah, I sort of, for me, the stomach and the gut is important. If I don't take care of my stomach, then things go off. I need good sleep. It's something that I can't do without. And I've generally been fairly balanced with my diet. I've been a vegetarian out of choice for the last 20 years. So, yeah, I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. I mean, that's something, and like you said, wellness is so personal, right? It's very individual. It can't be kind of a cookie cutter approach that one thing fits all. So that's the reason people need to go on this a personal wellness journey and kind of figure out and explore what works for yourself,
yeah,
like personally.
And you know, this is one of the biggest disservices of the wellness industry. You know, every year there's a new fad. One year it's chia seeds, 1 year it's goji berries, then everybody's having
the bad diets.
Yeah, I think, to be honest with you, if I had to give like one blanket bit of advice, Ayurveda and yoga. I don't think there is a more profound, more all-encompassing way of life or science of life than Ayurveda. So, because it's so broad and it's so comprehensive and it looks at every individual to such a level of granularity that it almost cannot make a mistake, because it's so personal to you.
Absolutely. And speaking of trends, there are always new trends as far as hospitality and wellness are concerned, like you just said. Has this year presented any new insights or ideas? Like, how do you plan to stay ahead in this game?
Well, to be honest with you, we've sort of, I think, always been ahead of the curve. So things I wanted to do or realize 3-4 years ago are happening now. Mm-hmm. And things I wanted to do 2 years ago, we're planning to do like a year from now. So how to stay ahead of the curve? I think just get better and better at what we do. As I said, we need to become financially successful, but at the same time, you know, find a way to do that without compromising on your core and on your principles. But otherwise, it comes back to the basics: sleep, food, stillness, time for yourself. very basic levels of physical exercise and movement. Nobody needs to break their back and spend 2 hours in the gym or do Pilates yeah. all day long and that kind of stuff, you know.
Right.
It's for me, it's really keep going back to the basics, and you will always find the right path or trajectory for your well-being, and it'll keep changing at different points in your life.
Absolutely, and that's so true. I think each decade, you kind of, your wellness mantra, your personal wellness mantra kind of changes. Like, you know, in your early 20s, you were spending like 2 hours in the gym with this aggressive exercise. And then you realize with time, like you said, you don't need to spend that amount of time in a gym or doing Pilates or yoga. It's all about the middle way and kind of balancing everything out, whether it's your diet, your sleep, your food. So it's kind of everything in balance. So you'd probably agree when I say we're nothing but the sum total of our experiences, right? What kind of experiences do you personally seek to feel more alive?
Well, my personal view is, I would elaborate on your statement a little bit more. There is also karma from this life and past lives, which does play a significant part. And of course, everybody's ability to process their experiences and convert that into intelligence and wisdom, that's a whole different ballgame, right? You meet a lot of people that are full of experiences, but actually don't have any depth.
That's true.
So anyway, but me to feel more alive, I don't know. I've never thought about that, to be honest.
Or something that you enjoy, like when you... but what about your travel, or where some this is this is there a place you like to keep going back to, or is there a place you're waiting to get to as soon as you know the travel restrictions are lifted?
This is going to sound very boring, but many years ago I stopped having a bucket list. In a sense, it's more for me about each day and each week and each month and what I'm doing with my life. I have, however, had a fascination to backpack in South America because I'm a fluent Spanish speaker. So, and I lived in Spain for some time. So I have wanted to do that. I would love to go on a very long voyage. I don't want to use the word cruise because that has different connotations, but I'd love to go on a long voyage in the seas. I feel a real sense of connect with the sea and with the ocean and with the water, even just being next to it. And otherwise, it could just be simple things, you know, like a good cup of tea and a piece of cake or a nimbu pani sometimes hits the spot. It's
absolutely
as good as going on a fancy trip or adventure, to be honest.
Absolutely. No, very well said. Sometimes it's the little things in life that give you the most pleasure, right? And like backpacking across South America. I mean, that's one of my favorite continents too. And I mean, I don't speak fluent Spanish, but I can dabble a bit. But yeah, I mean, that's one place I definitely want to go back to as well. So given the current situation, how has Vana adapted and evolved? And what's your vision going forward for Vana as a wellness brand?
Well, for now, as I said, we want to learn to stand on our own feet financially. Secondly, we want to improve the therapeutic outcomes of our treatments and our longer retreats. And thirdly, I think I want to push the envelope in Vana and bring in more of a sense of this, I don't know what the right word is, but stillness, serenity, spirituality, seva, all these terms have so many cliche connotations now, but I want to push the envelope more with Vana. I don't want to be shy of what we set out to create. So these are some of the things that we're considering, and we think that it would also be a wonderful a place for small groups to come and, you know, do their blue sky thinking, reimagine their life, reimagine their companies. So that's another thing we're contemplating. Small groups of 8 or 10 people coming on retreat. Things like that.
Absolutely. That's what we live for. We absolutely love getting, you know, like-minded people, or even if not like-minded people, but, you know, go out there, make a vision board, get your life back on track, you know, delve in some sort of wellness and well-being. I think it's the best kind of holiday that you can give yourself, you know, just to kind of get centered and more still, because we need that. And I love that there's so much emphasis in giving back and in this, you know, service and seva. And I think that's been the thread that's kind of been along in our conversation. It's about, you know, service and giving back and, you know, helping people get their ultimate or the optimum well-being
state. Yeah. And you know, all our spiritual traditions in India, all our teachers and gurus say this, that you will always find more contentment and satisfaction in doing for others than yourself. But somehow as Indians, we sometimes find it difficult to reconcile our traditions, our wisdom, our learning with what we see in the West. We need to get much better at doing that. And in fact, if anything, we need to give precedence to our traditions and not lap up things that we see in the West so easily. We need to be far more discerning, you know. Like we should all as Indians really defend yoga. We shouldn't let Lululemon and these fancy yoga
brands. We need to claim it back.
Yeah, we do. We do. It's an amazing... Frankly speaking, you know, more than some of the things the Incredible India campaign boasts about India, you know, the colors and all of that. That's all very well, but it's our wisdom traditions that are our greatest asset, spiritual and the life ones like Ayurveda and yoga and certain others. So we should get better at
Absolutely. And thank you so much, Veer, for being here and creating the Vana experience and showcasing India's timeless wisdom to the world. And we really need that. And it's a perfect way to start a transformative wellness journey for anyone out there. And thank you once again for your time and all the best for your future endeavors, Veer. Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me. And by the way, we have great lighting at Vana. It's a lighting design I'm proud of. So I'm sorry again for the funny shadows and whatnot. Thanks for inviting
me. Great seeing you. Thank you so much. Take care. Bye-bye. All right, so that was Veer, the co-founder and creator of Vana. We had a wonderful chat about the retreat, which is based in Dehradun. I personally can't wait to get there because it has this, I think the right amount of ingredients as far as wellness and spirituality and vision boarding, or, you know, even if you want to go as a corporate group, high level, and do some high level thinking and creating a roadmap, I think there's no better way, a place to do that. And I love that it's so entrenched in, you know, the ancient Indian wisdom of Ayurveda, of yoga. And like Veer said, we need to kind of pay more attention to this age-old wisdom that we have, and which we often kind of overlook, right? So that was my conversation with Veer Singh from Vana. And thank you, everybody, for joining in. And and we'll see you again next week. Thanks, Ollie. Thanks so much. All right. Thank you, guys. Thank you, everybody, for joining in. See you soon. Bye.